But what about this man here in the book of Daniel? I find a man of these days. Man with whom we can identify ourselves with. Why? I think as Christians we are coming in an extremely, increasingly more hostile society, where the world and where society in general is demanding that the Christians are taking stance. What is your belief? You know the question which Jonah was asked, for instance, by the seaman there who threw him overboard. Excuse me. The seaman who threw him overboard, the question was this. Jonah, or they didn't say Jonah, they said, what is your occupation? Why is this problem come upon us? They were demanding a stand from Jonah. They wanted to know where he was in his belief. Who is his God? And then Jonah brought out, of course, that he was sent by God. And that was the whole reason of the whole trouble, because he disobeyed and rebelled. But now there, we see a similar situation here. But of three men who were not like Jonah, running away from the problem, but rather getting it right at the throat, as we would say in Holland. Rather getting the problem right at the source where the heart of it was. The problem here was one maybe probably of compromise. What were they going to do? Now could you just imagine if you would have been taken prisoner and you would live in a country who is not favorable to your religion? Just imagine, we'll be all taken off to China. And there, as an individual, you would get a very favorite position, maybe somewhere with not anymore Chairman Mao, I don't know the man's name today anymore, they change so frequently there. But just imagine you would have a very good position by one of the high rank officials in China. And this person likes you. He likes you of your work you do. You work hard, you're faithful in all the things you do. But then comes the testing time. This person is going to demand from you to take a stand and not to worship your God anymore, but to start worshiping their gods, their idols, their statues, their ways of life. And that's today. Society is demanding almost from the Christian church that we start acting like they do. That we do not condemn the evil things which are happening today in the world and in today's society. And many Christians, sadly enough, are compromising in this way. And wherever there is compromise, there is a weakening in the spiritual strength. And wherever there is a weakening in the spiritual strength, the final result will be death. A person said once and compared it like this. If we are not going up the mountain, like cycling, we're going up the mountain. If we don't continue going up as a Christian and continue to grow, we'll be sliding back in our spiritual life. Finally, we'll be just wiped out by the opposition and the demands which the world puts upon us. So how are we going to take our stand? What should we do as Christians? How should we conduct our Christian life in today's 20th century living? How are we going to live? You know, if I would have been one of these three men, maybe I could have reasoned. I hope not, but maybe I could have reasoned like this. Now, let's think. God has given me this good position here to be on the forefront somehow of this life here of Nebuchadnezzar. After all, Nebuchadnezzar was a king. He was a great man, a respected man. And God has given me the position to be in the king's household, to be a servant of him. And beside that, the king is liking me. He respects me. I've won his favor. And I like to keep that favor. I like to continue being his friend. I don't like to become an enemy of that king. I really like the position I have. Another reason this man could have said is this. Now, you know, if this God of us is alive, if the God of of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, if really the God who is alive today, then why did he allow us to come to be captives? Maybe we shouldn't take any notice and just bow down and say what Nebuchadnezzar, the king, is today. Another reason could have been like this. Well, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, maybe we should be really obedient to any form of authority higher than us. There are many reasons which these three men could have chosen and said, well, let's just go down and worship. Another thing they could have said was this. Now let's just go and kneel down. God knows our heart. We don't mean it. It's a very subtle thing. You know, let's just kneel down, and after all, it's just a thing made out of material, maybe brick or maybe gold or whatever it was, an image made out of gold. Let's just kneel down. What does it matter? The kneeling down before a thing won't do harm anyone. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, didn't choose the easy way out. They didn't want to compromise. They wanted to go all the way with the Lord. And how did they approach this king? This king, furious, angry. Why don't you do as I want you to do? Just go and kneel down for this image. You're abusing my respect. You're abusing my authority. Kneel down. And they said, King, we can't do that. Because our trust is in the Lord Jehovah. Our trust is in the Lord himself who've made the heavens and the earth. And in that God we believe. I think it is in Deuteronomy where it states like this. That thou shalt not follow a multitude in their evil way. Now can you just imagine? If we would come outside this building here tonight, and we would see a whole hurdle of people screaming, running to the left, I'll bet you that most of us would wonder in amazement, what's happening? And sooner or later, we'll be all going the same direction. Who would dare to go to the right in the opposite way as everybody else is going? It takes to be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be like that. We as human beings are so frail and weak in our own decision making. Often our mind is being controlled by what the world and what the media is telling us we should believe and should do, whether this be evil or anything else. And often we accept their ways of life. But the Lord said, come and follow me, and I will give you rest. This world cannot give us rest. People are increasingly in greater muddles in their life. The whole way the family life is being disrupted. And we can see it when we look around us. We lived before we moved from Surrey to Burnaby, and in Surrey we were in a situation, that's when we arrived here in Vancouver. In Surrey we were in a situation that we lived very close together with, I think, about 40 families who were broken up. Or who couldn't live together, and whose children were a result of just because people had misbehaved and had sinned. And those children were unhappy. The wife was unhappy, the mother. Often there was no father. And this is the kind of thing which the world offers us today. The world says, and Satan says, oh, you follow me, and I'll give you lots of pleasures. I'll give you lots of fun and lots of excitement. And often our own hearts are drawn that way, instead of choosing for the Lord himself, the one who can give us that rest, the one who can give us that peace, which passes all knowledge and understanding. This peace the world cannot give. And praise the Lord, the world can never take that peace away neither. If, as long as we stay on the Lord himself. Because after all, he is our strength. He is our salvation. He is the one in whom we can delight and from whom we receive all joy. Again, it's so easy to compromise. You know, I've got my family staying now with me. They've just arrived a few days ago from Holland. And it just reminded me so much again of the early days when I became a Christian myself. I came from a very, well, somewhat orthodox kind of church situation, where we were very faithful in our Christian observances, like we used to read the Bible every day. In fact, we read it 3 times a day. My father would pray before every meal and after every meal. I especially like to learn, you know, the younger fellows and girls to listen to this, because you might be exactly in the same kind of boat. You know, you go through all the habits of Christianity because your father and mother have told you to do so. And praise the Lord for good fathers and mothers who tell you to do so. But when you're a young person, you're not interested always what your parents tell you to do, especially when it is something which has no personal meaning to yourself. That's for my parents. That's the decision they've made. But I don't have that experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it is so easy to drift away from it all, like I did myself. Because I had no personal experience as an individual with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the whole reason why I started drifting away. And had no interest for a long time about things concerning the kingdom of God and concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends and other people were much greater attractions than the things I could find in the Bible. But you know, if we ever really want to follow Jesus Christ and will have the strength and determination to do so, the first requirement is there that we must know Him as our own personal Savior. Without knowing Him, we will have never any strength to stand up against the wiles of the devil. We have no chance to survive in this very evil society who is only out to grab your soul away from Jesus Christ. These men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I believe the only reason why they could stand in this time of trial and testing, the only and very only reason was because they believed and they had a relationship with that God. They prayed and they were determined to go and follow that God, regardless the outcome of their dedication to cry to God. And we find this very vividly here, described in the book of Daniel. Because when these 3 men stood before this king, before Nebuchadnezzar, they stated to him and said, "O king, you must make very sure and really know that we will not bow down before your image, and that our God is able to deliver us out of your hand." And then a great secret came there. They said, "But if not, if our God doesn't deliver us out of your hand, be it known, O king, that He will deliver us out of your hand." They had this assurance that God, come what may come, well, come what come, whatever the outcome might be, God would deliver them, because they would enter into the presence of God after the earthly body would have been burned up. But they trusted that God would deliver them. And this trust must have made a tremendous impact on him. And so these 3 men were bound together with these ropes, tied together with all the clothing on. You must say it must have been very hot. Yeah, it must have been very hot, because that fire even burned up the men who were thrown into them. It consumed them. And then the miracle happened. We know as they were bound up with those ropes and they were thrown into that fire, when Nebuchadnezzar looked, he saw them walking. So that meant that the clothing wasn't hurt, but that only the ropes, those knots they were tied to, probably had burned up. Nothing was happened to the man. Just only the things which were put around them by the world, by the opposition, that had burned up. And that's the consuming fire of the Lord. We don't like to think about it. But that which doesn't belong of God, which is not of eternity, which is not built on the Lord Jesus Christ, will finally burn up. It will have no meaning for eternal life. It will have no meaning for heaven. And you know, that's hard to think about, because we treasure a lot of things in this world, in our own household, in our own lives, which are not lasting, which don't belong to the kingdom of heaven. But these 3 men had trusted in the Lord, And the answer for us today, and I trust for you as well, is found right there and then. For us today, it is found in Jesus Christ alone. And I hope that you, if you have never done this, will put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless of your parents, whatever your parents have taught you, however good it might be, have been, and I trust they've taught you exactly everything about the scriptures. But it will not save you unless you yourself put your trust in the Lord Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be mine. Forgive my sin. Unless you repent and turn yourself upon the Lord, like these three men had done, they'd given themselves wholly to God and they trusted him for salvation. Shall we pray?